Is that just me? I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't necessarily be dealing with someone across the table who would do something like that, who would say, hey, I want to blow up your friend over there. We're going to have to take a few steps back and talk about this just a little bit here. Now, listen here. My friend is not going to be blown up. You ain't going to do anything against my friend over there, my friend Israel. You can't do a thing against him if we're going to come and talk to on the negotiating table. That's got to be the precept, right? But apparently I'm missing something, so. But we will see what the all-knowing White House and staff, again, John Kerry's been all over the place. And you know what? I really think he's really trying to get a deal. The only problem is, I don't know that his boss has got his head on straight. I'm just saying. But what do you think? You call in at 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-TALK. You know, there's just some basic things going on here that you just can't ignore. So the states are going to be slamming some sanctions, apparently. They're not budging. They're considering even more. Kansas and Mississippi are going to be adding some more sanctions on their own, it looks like. There are several states across the country, I'm looking at an article at FoxNews.com, have put their own measures in place to punish Iran-linked companies operating in certain sectors of its economy, directing public pension funds with billions of dollars in assets to divesting from the firms, and sometimes barring them from public contracts. Reuters reported, in more than half of those states, restrictions will only expire if all federal sanctions against Iran are lifted, an unlikely scenario. Well, let's hope it's an unlikely scenario. Typically, U.S. states coordinate their measures with federal sanctions on Iran. However, the state's divestment actions are, in fact, much more strict when it comes to foreign firms with Iran links. Georgia, Florida, and Michigan are just three states that say they have no intention of changing their policies on Iran, even if progress is made on a federal level. I'll say that like three different times backwards. Iran, 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 Irene. What's your favorite way to say Iran? Even if progress is made on a federal level. Quote, our investment sanctions are not tied in any way to President Obama's negotiations with the Iranians. Senator Don Gates, Republican of Florida, told Reuters, they would have to change their behavior dramatically, and we would not be necessarily guided by President Obama or any other president's opinion about the Iranians. Well, thank you for being such a good sport in independent thinking, because that's what it's all about here in the United States of A. We are all, yeah, that didn't sound right. The United States of America, I won't say that again. That's what it's about, independent thinking, not necessarily kowtowing to what someone else thinks. In fact, that's kind of how we ended up as a little independent nation of our own. But anyway, I digress. Officials in New York and Oregon told Reuters they would first need to review any changes made on the national scene before they would be able to comment on how it may affect their current policies, so they're kind of playing it back just a little bit. Even if the federal deal passes, new local legislation would have to be passed in Illinois and Connecticut before legal changes could be made to their divestment policies. Florida, an early adopter of divestment policies going after Iran, pulled $1.3 billion out of companies like PetroChina, a Chinese oil and gas company that has ties to Iran. Michigan divested $185 million of its pension funds from companies like HSBC and Vodafone. Icy relationship between U.S. and Iran has recently shown some signs of thawing, but many caution that so much discord between the state and federal government over Tehran may show signs of weakness. Yeah, so that's that. Tehran, however you want to say that. I know how to say it. I'm just having fun with it. Tehran. Tyrannical is what it should be. So, Marco Rubio has announced he is a candidate for the 2016 GOP presidential campaign, vowing to restore and reinvent the American dream. What exactly does Rubio have to say about his American dream? Well, he said, and quote, "My parents achieved what came to be known as the American dream. But now, too many Americans are starting to doubt whether achieving that dream is still possible. Yesterday is over, and we are never going back. I announce my candidacy for President of the United States." This is again from another Fox News article. Rubio said that in an announcement in Monday, one day after Hillary Clinton made public her campaign, officially establishing herself as the Democratic frontrunner for the White House next year. Rubio had hinted for days that he would announce his candidacy this week and preempted himself early Monday by saying he feels uniquely qualified to talk about the future. Of course, because of his background, first-generation Cuban-American, which will be good. A lot of people are saying, well, he's going to garner a lot of the Latino vote. And you know what? That's a good thing. He could garner the Latino vote in the upcoming election. That's great. That'd be wonderful. But it all depends on where, and this is, I think, the key with the majority of the Latino vote, personally, because I believe that there are a lot of conservative Latinos out there. There are a lot of Latinos that would necessarily line right up with Marco Rubio, but then you've got the whole issue of amnesty. Well, what is he going to do about that? I think, personally, that's going to be the deciding factor for the Latino vote, is amnesty, unfortunately. And maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. But 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. But I think that that is really going to be the deciding factor for the Latino vote. I do. Because they're so invested. They're so invested in that issue. There's so many, and even my generation went to school with them. So many people who are not here legally. I'm not saying it's right. It's not. But are not here legally, and their parents may not be here legally, but then they were born in the United States, and now they are a citizen. You know, kind of using the system, having a baby in the border to make your child a citizen, then using that as a reason to stay, as an excuse, really, because if you think about it, they're kind of using their kids. Apparently that's okay. I don't understand why then the kids would advocate for something like that. You know, if you realize, you know, they're not in every situation, but they may have just had you to be able to stay in the United States, kind of as a means to an end. Well, what do you think on that? Again, 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK is the number to call, or 1-877-667-1180. That's abroad at 1-877-667-1180. We're going to look a little bit more into Marco Rubio, a lot more on the program as we move forward today on this Tuesday. King Abdullah II, Abdullah, says airstrikes increasing inside Syria and Iraq. We'll be back. Welcome back to the program. It's a new day. 1180 WFYL. Mike Levins here, and thank you for joining us this morning. 610-539-TALK is the number to call. 610-539-TALK or 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Get me in a flash at michael@1180wfyl.com. That's michael@1180wfyl.com. Get me in a flash there. So Marco Rubio, he's in. That's the headline on a CNN article. Marco Rubio announces his presidential bid. This was published yesterday at the night. Senator Marco Rubio announcing his candidacy to be president. You know what I never understand? I'll never understand those ads that when you're opening up an article to look at or something like that, those ads that just play and you don't know where they're playing from. I'll never understand those ads. I'll never understand it at all, because I'm not looking at this article to see your ad, and everyone is. I mean, and you need ads. I mean, we run ads on the station. It's a source of income, and that's how we keep the station going from day to day. But you know, I'd never understand though those annoying ads. You know, another thing I don't understand. I don't understand ads on TV, because you know, with radio, you could turn on radio and it's free. You're not having to pay for it. The thing that pays for radio for you to listen is the ads. I never understand TV, though, because you're paying a cable company $120 or $30 or $40 or whatever you're paying them. And the rates are different, by the way, depending on where you are, because if there's not as much competition, then they're going to charge you more because you don't have any place to go other than this one cable company if you want TV. Not like that's wrong, but anyway, they'll charge you that per month, and yet you still have commercials. I never understood that. I never understood that because I'm like, oh, I'm already paying for this. Why am I inundated with... Have you ever thought about that? There's a lot of different free media out there, radio being one of them, one of the few left, by the way. A lot of free media that may be supported by just ads. You don't necessarily have to pay for it, but yet you still get inundated with ads on cable television. You ever think about that? That's just crazy. That's like the biggest scam I've ever thought of, because they're already getting you once to just watch the program, and then you have to, and then there's tons of commercials. It's not like they're getting any shorter. It's like, it feels like every TV channel you change to now, they're all coordinating when the commercials play, and it's like, I can't avoid them. They're everywhere. What are they doing? I'm surrounded. You just can't. You can't get away from them. They're like that creepy uncle, you know, in the corner that you never really knew too well, but he always kind of looks at you weird. And maybe you don't have a creepy uncle, and that's good. That's really good. 610-539 talk. The number to call. 610-539 talk. Anyways. I hate those ads. I don't understand them. I don't understand why they come up and why they all of a sudden they just, you're looking for it and it's talking, you know, this is the best gas company to ever come in the history of America, and we're doing things that no one else has ever done before. That's all well and good and great. And you want me to think of your brand in a funny way or in a great way. And I never understand why they do that, because they understand that they're kind of destroying their brand by subverting and putting commercials in that way. Do they ever realize that? It doesn't make me like your brand more when there's a commercial that I can't find and it just plays on its own. And I may be like sitting in work or something like that, and then all of a sudden, you know, I have the volume up and, you know, maybe it's quiet, people are working, and then all of a sudden you hear, in 1955, we started XYZ company with the idea of bringing you the best service. And I'm sitting there like, where in the world is this coming from? Stop it. And they hit mute or something like that. And it never works. I don't understand. I get that. They understand that destroys their program, their brand. But anyway, so we've got Marco Rubio announcing his candidacy for president. You know, another thing I don't understand? I don't understand why everyone puts their hope so much in political leaders. Yes, even a Marco Rubio. Just personally, he may be a great man. He may be a great guy, and time will tell. And there are a lot of other great candidates out there, at least for the Republican Party. You know, there's Ted Cruz. He's another really great hopeful that everyone's really excited about, and the list will go on and continue to grow. and we'll keep tabs on that. But I'd never understand why people put so much faith in political leaders. I just don't. Because you should hear the cheers that happened from Marco Rubio's speech when he announced his presidency. People were just, it was almost like they were losing themselves. You know, like at a concert, where you have like a band come on stage. I don't know. The only thing I could think of where maybe people were like that, or the at least first thing that comes to mind are the Beatles. You know, you have all the girls sitting there fainting, like, oh my gosh, oh my God, and they faint. and then they, you know, and these people just go crazy. They go crazy for these people that they hold up in so high regard, which, by the way, history tells us time and time again, and they probably tell us too, that they're just normal people. At least we hope. Maybe some of them think a little higher of themselves than they ought. But why, well, we hold them in such, and we put so much hope in them. We really do. Too much hope. I don't understand that. Am I the only one? Am I the only one that doesn't? Because, I mean, not for nothing, but it's not necessarily like they are going to, by themselves, fix all of our problems. They're going to have to work with the Congress. They're going to have to work with the Senate, or the House and the Senate. They're going to have to work with the people. They're going to have to make their bid for their policies. It's not like simply electing one person is going to change everything. And that kind of goes into our scripture of the day today, Psalm 42:11. And I think this is great. I think this is a great scripture. It goes right to the point. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And that's such a timely psalm and scripture. And this is a famous scripture, actually. You may have heard it yourself, if maybe you don't even attend church, but as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? That was just the beginning. But it kind of goes on, and it's what we call a lament. It really is a cry out of the depths, and honestly, it kind of sounds like some kind of depression. Here's the next verse. My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? And a lot of people may be saying that. You may be saying that right now in our country. Maybe you're a believer. You're a Christian. You believe in Jesus Christ and you believe in God, and you're saying, where are you, God? Where is your God? People mock us and say, where's your God now? Look at all the horrible things that are happening in this nation. I love how it ends, because it ends with, my soul, why are you so downcast? Because the author even says to God, why have you forgotten me? Doesn't lie about his own feelings. Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Let God know his feelings. And all these things happen in the news. We may even say that sometimes, but see, our hope isn't in men. Our hope is in one person, and that is God himself. The only one who's going to be able to take care of us in any situation. Welcome back to the program. Call in 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-TALK. It's a new day in 1180 WFYL with Michael Levins. You could call in abroad at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. email me in a flash at michael@1180wfyl.com. That's michael@1180wfyl.com. Did you know that you shouldn't drink coffee before you go to bed? That is the revelation on MSN.com. 20 things you shouldn't do before bed. Number 5 is drink coffee. And it says in parentheses, maybe even decaf. Well, where did you figure out that one, intelligent one? Who was the one in charge of this article? Who figured that out? A cup of coffee contains anywhere from 80 to 120 milligrams of caffeine per cup. No, really? Man, that's a cushy job. I'd like that if all I had to do was make up those little, like, 20 things you shouldn't do, or this 10 things that you should do, or 5 things you'd never realized would impact your relationship with your dog. You ever realize those stupid articles on different websites that just have you sitting there? And that should be our facepalm for today, actually. What thing you shouldn't do? Drink coffee before bed. Thank you so much. I never realized that. That is a revelation to me. 80 to 120 milligrams of caffeine per cup. Where do people come up with this stuff? I can't make this stuff up. I can't make it up. You can't drink tea either. You didn't know that doesn't have caffeine in it, or that does have caffeine in it. Oh, now they're just stepping on my hot buttons here. Number 7, you would not guess what you shouldn't do before you go to bed. Ladies, you're not going to like it. You're not going to like it one bit. Are you ready for it? I don't know that you are, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Eat chocolate. Apparently, it's a sneaky source of caffeine, chocolate. Especially dark chocolate with high cocoa contents. You know what? I'm going to eat my chocolate, and I'm going to eat it proud before I go to bed. People might not think about ice cream that contains chocolate or coffee as something that might potentially keep them awake, but if they're sensitive to caffeine, that definitely could do the trick. How many of you are going to pay attention to that? Yeah, I know. Neither am I. What else does it say here? Skip your wind down time. Skip your wind down time. Where are they coming from this from? When people say that they can't shut their mind off in bed, it's often because they haven't given themselves adequate time to relax in the hour or so beforehand. When you're going from one distracting activity to another, not giving yourself time to sit back and reflect on your thoughts, it's no wonder that your mind is racing when you finally climb into bed. Recommends taking at least 30 minutes before you head into your bedroom to put away anything that's too stimulating, thought-provoking, or absorbing. Anything from action-packed TV shows to work that you've brought home with you. Instead, focus on activities that relax you and bring closure to your evening, like making a to-do list and packing a bag for the next day. Well, wouldn't that mean that you actually do have wind down time? I guess they're thinking that wind down time is actually going and watching an action-packed TV show or something. That must be what they think a wind down time is. I'm going to eat my chocolate. It's not like I have chocolate next to my bed before I go to bed. Now that would be something, wouldn't it? But if I ever find myself eating chocolate before I go to sleep, I will remember this article, and I will eat my chocolate defiantly, and I hope you will too. Welcome again to the program. You can call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. And I will yet praise Him for chocolate as well. No, but that scripture really talking about what is when we are going through difficult, difficult times and where we may throw up our hands and say, God, where are you? We're talking about, you know, people putting their faith in political leaders and why that can, while it is, I don't care who they are. I don't. And they may be a great guy, Marco Rubio. He just announced his candidacy for president last night. It's a big thing in the news right now. And you know what? There's a lot of things that I probably, if I met him, I'd go, you know what, sir? You're a great man. There are probably a lot of policy differences. We'll find out more about that as the elections really ramp up here. But I don't care who they are. I don't care if it's Ronald Reagan back from the dead, because that's the big thing for conservatives, right? I'm not going to put all my faith in a man. I don't care what he says, what his life is like, what he's going to look like or do, or a woman. It's not like a woman couldn't be a leader in this country. I don't know that I'd want Hillary Clinton being the leader of the country. I'm just saying. I think if this was a job interview for Hillary, she'd be kind of in the doghouse right now. Because if you're trying to apply for a job and you're saying that you're going to be transparent in everything that you do, and then your biggest job since then being the State Department, head of the State Department, if that job you went against that principle in which you're using to apply for a new job, being transparency, your email saying, oh, well, those 30,000 emails, well, those are just personal. We deemed those as personal. At least the ones that we're never, ever going to see. Then, please, stop wasting my time. Really. Stop wasting my time. Stop wasting the country's time. Stop wasting everyone's time. There are some who are listening and may support her. Honestly, this isn't even a matter of policy for me. For me, it kind of stops right at this whole issue with her email. She's going against her very word of transparency, which, just because she is Hillary Clinton, and because the Clintons are so famous for lacking in that transparency, that just reinforces the stereotype, which is the very thing she's trying to talk against, which is not very good for her campaigning. That right there, I'm not even getting into, because I policy-wise, her and I are polar opposites. So me as a voter, I'm not even lined up with her in any sense of we're not even in the same solar system when it comes to policy. But I'm not even getting into that. Not even, before we even get to policy, there's a big character issue there for me, I think. She goes against something that she says that she's going to have as a big highlight of her presidency. I don't care if she's a woman. I don't care. That doesn't mean that there are not great women who could run for president. Just not her. From my perspective. 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK. 1-877-667-1180 abroad or instant email or flash. Email me in a flash, that's right, at michael@1180wfyl.com. But Marco Rubio, throwing his towel in, not by quitting, but he's throwing his towel in the, maybe towel isn't the right term, he's throwing his bid in there. He's throwing his candidacy out there for the whole world to see for the President of the United States. The big news last night. If you just joined us, welcome to the program. It's a new day in 1180 WFYL with Mike Levins here. Talking about Marco Rubio announcing his candidacy. Putting our faith in men or putting it in God? Well, that's an important question, isn't it? No matter what you believe, for all of us. What does Marco Rubio say? Quote, my candidacy might seem improbable to some watching from abroad, talking about different countries. Quote, in many countries, the highest office in the land is reserved for the rich and powerful. But I live in an exceptional country. I live in an exceptional country. He emphasizes that twice, by the way. I'm not emphasizing that. He said it twice. Where even the son of a bartender and a maid can have the same dreams and the same future as those who come from power and privilege. Now, I think his story is a great one. I do. I think it's a tremendous story. And I think he's a model, really. His story is a model of the American dream and what it can be. I really do. And you know what? There are a lot of things that I'm sure I agree with him with. But the real big question, this is the question, and this is what Rubio obviously is campaigning for, is the Latino vote. what goes even further than that, as far as political insight. Is the Latino vote going to be enough to determine the election? Is it something that he should necessarily highlight and make his point in the presidency? Is it large enough to actually swing a presidential election? Are we at that point in the country? And if so, or if not, depending on the answer to that question, is it even worth going after specifically? Not that Latino voters should not be part of the system and voting, or that they shouldn't be a priority. They should be. But is a whole campaign based on the Latino vote smart presidential strategy? We're going to talk about that coming in the next segment here on It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Call in at 610-539-TALK or email me in Flash, Michael at 1180WFYL.com. Welcome. Did I scare you? I didn't mean to. Welcome back to the program, 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. Call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, or abroad at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Email me in a flash at Michael at 1180WFYL.com. That's Michael at 1180WFYL.com. And we'll have a little chat via email. Let me know what you think today, or call in. This is your show, folks. So go ahead and be a part. Well, we're talking about 20 things you shouldn't do before bed. A lot of people are not going to like this one, though. You shouldn't take a shower before going to bed, apparently. Are you a night shower person or a morning shower person? I'm a morning shower person. I take my shower in the morning because I'm not a morning person. I need something to wake me up. If I don't have it to wake me up, then I'm going to be like, and this is a little controversial, but it still is really funny. Bill Cosby himself skit. And I say it's controversial because I know that there's a lot of stuff flying around about him and sexual assault, essentially, and abuse, and it's gotten out of the media's eye a little bit, but there were a lot of women that came out and basically accused him of sexually assaulting them. And the evidence was actually, it got you thinking, to say the least. It got you thinking. But from his DVD himself, he kind of goes, well, I guess if I say that, it's not funny anymore, huh? Yeah, unfortunately, I just got to burst everyone's bubble, apparently. Sorry about that, guys. Didn't mean to do that, but, yeah, good old Bill Cosby. I loved Bill Cosby's comedy routines and all that stuff coming out about him. And I haven't really been following it recently, but it was out in the media for the longest time. Well, then, you know what? It really wasn't in the media for the longest time. It kind of flashed. It flashed out there because it was a sensational story. You know, Bill Cosby is a comedian that he may be sexual, that he has allegations of sexual assault, essentially, and maybe even rape. But recently, that has definitely been out of the public eye, you know, with different things like Iran and presidential bids, all sorts of different events that are now catching the news media on this and that. But apparently you shouldn't take a shower, though, before you go to bed. Apparently you shouldn't. I need the shower in the morning to wake me up, because if I don't, I'm kind of like, and this is what I was getting at with the whole Bill Cosby thing, and one of his routines, he talks about his kids coming down, Bill Cosby himself, his kids coming downstairs, and it was funny. He's probably one of the best comedians that I have ever seen in a lot of ways. But when he talks about his kids coming downstairs and how they were like, don't know if you've seen that. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But he talks about when they're coming downstairs and they're just tired. That's how I am when I wake up in the morning. I'm like, I can barely hold my eyes open. It doesn't matter if I got 8 or 9 hours of sleep. I just give me a minute. Okay, I need to wake up a little bit here. That's me. So I need a morning shower. Some people are a night. My fiance, she's a night shower person, I think. If I remember that correctly. Well, I'm going to find out sooner or later. We're going to be getting married this year, so I will definitely know for sure. She's listening right now. She's probably laughing in the car. But the night shower, are you a night shower person? Apparently, you shouldn't do that before you go to bed. Apparently, that's not good to go to bed. I love this article. This article is our facepalm for today. It is because it's so good. It has so much. There you go. So it's facepalm. This is our facepalm. So you're getting it earlier than expected. Welcome to our daily facepalm for today, WFYL. We have a winner. Here's why. So you shouldn't take a shower before you go to bed. You shouldn't drink coffee before you go to bed. That revelation from MSN.com. 20 things you shouldn't do before you go to bed. So you shouldn't take a shower. You shouldn't drink coffee. You shouldn't eat chocolate. Yeah, they're just on your good list today, aren't they? Let's see. You shouldn't pick a fight with your significant other. You shouldn't have your dog. You shouldn't let your pet sleep in bed with you. These, again, 20 things you shouldn't do before bed. And then the very last one, and here's the kicker. Not the very last one, second to last. Here's the kicker. You shouldn't alter your routine. You shouldn't eat chocolate. You shouldn't drink coffee, anything with caffeine. You shouldn't take a shower, okay, before you go to bed. Shouldn't let your pet in. No chocolate. And you shouldn't alter your routine. God forbid you change it and do any of the things that you shouldn't do before you go to bed. That bit of wisdom, that's from MSN.com. I am applauding in the studio right now because I couldn't have found this on my own. It just happens to present itself today. It's our winner of a daily facepalm. I give it a little victory dance there in the car. It's just crazy. I couldn't have come up with that myself. Credit for that goes to MSN.com. That's MSN.com. If you want to see more things that just make you chuckle, go to their politics section. That's MSN.com. MSN.com. But 20 things you shouldn't do before you go to bed. Well, this is another thing we want to talk about. What are the Hispanic vote? The Hispanic vote. How key is that going to be in the presidential election? Is it going to be as key as Republicans think it is? Jeb Bush making his big stay on the Hispanic vote by revealing his position on amnesty, saying famously, let's try that again, saying famously, this is from Breitbart. The headline reads, Jeb Bush, I can, quote, persuade conservatives on amnesty. Which Jeb did a really good job at pointing his proverbial shotgun down and shooting his own foot. Who was it? Was it, did Dick Cheney get shot or did Dick Cheney shoot someone? I don't remember, but someone shot someone. It was like a skeet shooting or something like that. It was like a big thing in the news and a lot of news outlets were using that. I think it was Dick Cheney. Was it Dick Cheney? He shot someone using a shotgun. we're gonna find that. A Dick Cheney hunting incident. That's what it was. Yeah, Dick Cheney accidentally shot and wounded a Texas lawyer. He was out. So, didn't shoot himself. Dick Cheney accidentally shot someone. So, Jeb Bush taking the proverbial shotgun, aiming it down at his foot, and pulling that good old Smith & Wesson or whatever trigger it was. He said, I can persuade conservatives on amnesty. Oh, really? You can? All right, do tell. But that's not the point, though. The point is, by saying that, he made his campaign centering on the Latino vote. He centered his campaign with that one quote, if I could say that, on the Latino vote. And now we're seeing, you know, of course, Marco Rubio being Cuban and having a great story, by the way, just announcing his candidacy last night. Basically talking a lot in his bid for president about his background and appealing to Latino voters. How big is the Latino vote, and is it something that could really swing an election? We've got to hit a break. And I feel bad. I feel like I'm kind of leading you guys on. I was like, oh, we got to hit a break. We got to hit a break. We got to hit a break. We'll get to it. I promise. Just stay right there. We will get to it. We'll be back in a flash. 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.